church, for this preacher, and it's a delight to have you here today.
Amen. Well, thank you. I do want to say I'm the one that's honored when I look over 50 years and see some of the young men coming up today behind me, men as your pastor, you know, that's still sticking by the stuff as well. And that encourages me. I'm so encouraged by that because that's not the norm today. And you are really blessed. And I pray you as a church will stand behind him and take a stand. You know, nobody takes stands anymore. You know, when I remember looking back, 1964 when I started out, and there were Christians with backbone. You know, years ago I was on my way to do a revival in New Hampshire, and I saw this bumper sticker, and I never forgot it. And God gave me a message out of it. It says, "Evil thrives when good people do nothing." And folks, we're at where we're at today because we've chosen to do nothing about it. And so let's get before God on our knees and ask God for his guidance and his direction. Let's stop blaming Congress, and let's stop blaming Washington, and let's look inside ourselves. And so today, if you'll join me, let's stand one more time as we honor God by the reading of his precious holy word and inspired by the Holy Spirit. Proverbs chapter 14 in your Bibles. And let's look at verse 34 together. In verse 34, the Bible says, "Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people." Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we sure do love you. And Lord, as we ask you to bless America, we also at the same time ask you to forgive America. God, forgive our nation for turning her back on you. You're the one that made her so great. It wasn't American ingenuity. It wasn't great inventors. But God, it was you who's made this nation great. And may we never forget our roots. May we never forget our beginnings. May we never forget those soldiers, men and women alike, who fought and died that we may be free. And Lord, we ask you to bless this service today. If there's anyone in our midst today, Lord Jesus, who doesn't know you as a personal Savior, I pray today will be the day of decision. Lord, they'll never be free of the world, never free of the flesh, never free, Lord, of the devil, until they come a child of God and they can have victory over some of those things. God, please bless our nation, bless our families, and bless this wonderful church. In Jesus' sweet, precious name, we do pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I want you to think on the thought this morning as we think about our independence: righteousness or reproach? Righteousness or reproach? You know, freedom is not free. Freedom comes with a price. And so many are willing to give up the freedoms we have, that who have not fought and died for our freedoms today are more than willing to have them taken away. You know, it's very easy in the emotions of an election to kind of give away some of the freedoms that many have fought and died for, especially when you've never fought for freedom yourself. And freedom gives you the right to do as you should, not as you please. This weekend, we are celebrating our independence, and as you stand and watch as the parades go by, you will see many, when our flag, Old Glory, goes by, just stand there with their hands in their pockets. It just means time off from work. This generation doesn't know why we're celebrating today. It is a day of celebrating freedom, the courage of those who dared to proclaim liberty. Liberty is a cherished biblical principle. If you look in your Bibles over to Leviticus chapter 25 for a moment, Leviticus 25 and verse 10. Verse 10, the Bible says, "And ye shall hallow the fifth year, proclaim liberty throughout all the land and to all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubilee unto you, and ye shall return every man unto his possession, and ye shall return every man unto his family. There are many who did not return to their families because they died giving their lives for the freedom that you enjoy today. And dear friend, how to secure the blessing of liberty for the future? Solomon's good advice for any nation: a national choice between righteousness and reproach. Now, there's three important questions for us all today. Number one, what builds up a nation? What builds up a nation? Political leaders usually prescribe a mighty military force, a strong economy, and the development of its resources. And number three, improvement of education and technology. Righteousness is a nation's greatest treasure. Righteous living determines a nation's destiny. See, it wasn't Washington who got us here in this situation. We got ourselves here because we've forgotten God. Self has become the God in our lives, and everything's about us rather than about Him. And you see, folks, there, you can read for yourself Deuteronomy chapter 28 through 30. The history of the chosen people, as they were a righteous or sinful nation, is marked by a corresponding exaltation or disgrace. And yes, we've come to the place because we've turned our backs on God, and it is nothing but a national disgrace. It's God who made this nation so great, and we have reaped the blessings of God all of these years. And folks, listen, Israel, you remember, forgot God. And look what happened to her. When everything was going well and God was blessing the nation of Israel, they forgot God. And it came to the point where they thought they could do better themselves. And we're thinking that, Washington can do a better job than God can. We're thinking that government can do a better job than the local New Testament church. And that's what's so sad today. The reason why there's so much sin out there is because there's so much sin in the house of God, and the man of God no longer preaches against sin. Now you see, dear friend, number two, what brings a nation down? What brings a nation down? Forgetting God and doing that which is right in our own eyes. He that lacketh wisdom, let him ask President Obama. He that lacketh wisdom, let him ask any vice president or president, or let him ask of God. See, we're trying to rear our families. We're trying to guide our course on this journey without the guidance and leadership of God Almighty. We think that we can do a better job. I never will forget, years ago I was doing a meeting out in Michigan, and I saw this big billboard, and it said, thank you for inviting me to your wedding. Now invite me to your marriage. Love, God. See, we want God for that one day, but we can run the rest of our life. And folks, that's where we lack the wisdom of God. You cannot rear your family without His wisdom. You cannot make major decisions in your life without His guidance. Folks, that's why church is so important. That's why the ministries here are so important. These are all tools that God uses to help guide our course on this journey. And folks, listen, he that lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. Sin is a reproach to any people. Now consider the decline of civilization in Romans chapter 1. They refuse to glorify God and be thankful. We're living in a generation of Christians who are not thankful. Folks, listen, we're always bitter, and people come to church, they look like they had a lemon for supper. Come on, folks. I mean, you're saved. You're on your way to heaven. God's washed away your sin. Come on, get happy. Get excited about it. We don't need to have a bitter heart, a bitter spirit, and a puss on our face. They chose idolatry over true worship. I mean, we worship our money, we worship our cars, we worship our toys, we worship everything but God. They practice many forms of immorality. Boy, you know, I'm 67 years old almost, and I have never seen in my lifetime the filth and the immorality that we see are all around us. And you know what? Sometimes Christians cross that line too. Folks, listen. These are the things that can happen when we become our own gods. You know, when we have turned our back on God and forget God, then anything goes. Sin brought this, and you know, they became violent and deceitful and proud. I've never seen people more proud in my life. Proud of their sin, proud of what they do, proud of who they are, rather than proud of who God is. Sin brought the downfall of many once proud empires. The Babylonian Empire, Belshazzar's death in Daniel chapter 5. The Medo-Persian and Grecian empires, the Roman Empire. Neither nations nor individuals can sin and win. Let's look at in our Bibles to Numbers chapter 32, if you would. Turn with me over to Numbers. Numbers chapter 32. And let's look at verse 23 together. Notice with me in verse 23, the Bible says, "But if ye will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord." See, this sin is not just against others. This sin is not just against our nation. This sin is against God. Sin against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. Well, here it is. It's time to reap what we've sowed. We've sowed sin, and we've sowed idolatry, and we've sowed immorality. Now it's time to pay the piper. Disease is all over our land. Our children, we're losing our children today. Somebody say amen. Amen. Breaks my heart. The number three, I want to talk to you for a moment on what makes the difference. What makes the difference? What an enemy, an ungodly man is to his country. No standard of right and wrong, nor what is fair. Is that who you want leading our country? You know, I don't care what your political stand is today. And I'm not personally, talking against our president. But what I am saying is there are some principles, there are some standards that whoever holds that office ought to live by. And they're supposed to be sin of God. They're supposed to be for the people, by the people. You know, not just for themselves, not just so they make out. Not because they're rubbing and giving, paying off somebody in their pockets. This is about us, not about them.
Right. Amen.
Passing laws that deny people's rights. We're no longer as free as our fathers and grandfathers were. That scares me. I think about your children. And I think about your children. And my son and the next generation. What kind of a country? Folks, this is not the America that we grew up in. This is not our nation. This is not the nation that our forefathers fought and died for. National exaltation depends on how individual citizens live. It's not about policy. It's about sinful people living sinful, ungodly lives. Using drugs, drinkers, many leaders have committed adultery, have friends that are homosexual, just fill in the sin of our citizens. This is what happens when we turn our backs on God. A nation is blessed by righteous citizens. A nation is disgraced by unrighteous citizens. And so you see, my friends, today, righteousness is not legislated, but lived out by individuals. How we live makes a difference for the future of our country. Now it's time that we have people who are praying men and leaders in their homes. Amen. Now is the time when we have men who will lead by example and not just lip service. Somebody say amen. I feel like preaching today. I know it's the 4th of July. I know it's independent. But we're never, never independent of God.
That's right. Come on. Amen.
I'll tell you, folks, it's time. It's time that we see our sin, admit our sin, because it's found us out, and confess it and repent. And once we repent, we turn. Don't just give lip service. We have a sinful nation because we have a sinful people. And folks, listen, you know that word sin's got S-I-N in it? I, right there in the middle, I this and I that. It's all about I instead of all about him. You see, and so the only thing that's going to make a difference in our country is, number one, in closing, a call to personal holiness. It's time for Christians to be holy. Stop making excuses. Stop conforming. Stop compromising. It's time, be ye holy, God says, as I am holy. And you know what? If we couldn't do it, God wouldn't expect it of us. He wouldn't command it of us. By the way, holiness is not a suggestion. It is a command of God. And you know what, folks? I remember as a boy in the early 1950s, going to church with my parents, and I mean, there were folks outside. You couldn't even get everybody in the building. I have a picture my mom had of her Sunday school class, an 8x10 picture, and she wrote on the back she couldn't get all the kids in the picture. There were so many. What's happened? We've forgotten God, and we no longer are a holy, righteous people. Then, second of all, a call to search our hearts. It's not the person next to you today. It's not the person in front of you today. It's not the person behind you today. It's you, oh Lord. It's me, oh Lord, in the need of prayer. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
We need to search our hearts today, that God would once again cleanse us, forgive us, and turn these things around. Only people on their knees searching their hearts can make a difference. And then a call for confession of sin and full surrender. Full surrender. Folks, listen. We're good at praying, amen. We're good at reading our Bibles, amen. But boy, when it comes to surrender, Lord, I just don't know. I mean, I take this half, and you can have that half. And that's the way we try to live our lives. Instead of saying, Lord, here it is. It's all yours. It's all yours. Say that with me. It's all yours. Say it again. It's all yours. Whatever that thing you got. You know, I learned years ago that the struggles in our life is that thing that God wants that we won't give him. What it is in your life today that God's been demanding, and you're fighting and you're struggling. I tell you, you want to know freedom, give it to God. Amen. Give it whatever you're going through, whatever it has that you love more than you love him. Give it to him today. Surrender today. I don't know, God may be dealing with your heart. Maybe just surrender your life to Christ today. Say, Lord, here's my life. I'm going to put it on the altar. Do with it whatever you want. Let's look at 1 John 1:9 together before we close. Turn in your Bibles to 1 John 1:9, a very familiar text. But this is so important. I really don't want to paraphrase it. The Bible says here in verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful. Aren't you glad he's faithful? Yes. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Would you please stand with me today? Everyone, please stand and face the American flag. I am your flag. Now, some people call me Old Glory. Others call me the Star Spangled Banner. But whatever they call me, I'm your flag, the flag of the United States of America. Now, something had been bothering me, so I thought I might talk it over with you. Because, you see, it's about you and me. I remember some time ago, people used to line up on both sides of the street to watch the parade, and naturally, I was leading the parade proudly, waving in the breeze. When your daddy saw me coming, he immediately removed his hat and placed his hand over his shoulder so that his hand was directly over his heart. Remember? And you, I remember you standing there straight as a soldier. Now, you didn't have a hat, but you were given the right salute. And remember, little sister, not to be outdone. She was saluting the same as you with her right hand over her heart. Remember? What's happened? I'm still the same old flag. I have a few more stars since you were a boy. A lot more blood has been shed since those parades of long ago. But I don't feel as proud as I used to. When I come down the street, you just stand there with your hands in your pockets. And I may get a small glance, and then you look away. Then I also see the children running around and shouting. They don't even seem to know who I am. I saw one man take his hat off. Then he looked around, but he didn't see anybody else with theirs off, so he quickly put his back on. Is it a sin to be patriotic anymore? Have you forgotten what I stand for and where I've been? Pearl Harbor, Guadalcanal, Korea, Vietnam, Kuwait, Iraq, Iran, Afghanistan? Take a look at the memorial honor roll sometime of those who never came back home to keep this republic free. One nation under God. When you salute me, you're actually saluting them. Well, it won't be too long until I'll be coming down your street again. So when you see me coming, stand up straight, place your hand over your heart, and I'll salute you back by waving. And I'll know that you remembered. Let's say the Pledge of Allegiance one more time before we close. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Every head bowed and every eyes closed. Please, no one looking around for a moment. You know, this message is really not just about our nation, but it's about us, because we are the citizens, we are the people. What has God spoken to you about today? What sin is there in your life that you won't let go? Will you give it to God today? Maybe there's somebody here today that God's been really dealing with about surrendering. Won't you surrender your life to the Lord? Just let God have your life. Say, Lord, here I am. do with me as you will.